Welcome to All Things in the Name of Love. If you like this show, please like, subscribe, and share. Thanks. Welcome to another episode of All Things in the Name of Love. And today I have with me a beautiful soul, Angela Clement. And among other things, I'm going to give you a brief bio because she's so much more than any of the things that I wrote down. So I can already feel that. But she's a former school principal, speaker, author, coach, writer, energy healer, host of the Awaken Your Soul's Journey series on grief. And what I love and what I could feel the alignment was with when you lost your husband in 2021, how grief became a catalyst for you, because I completely understand that firsthand. So thank you so much for joining me. And I want to ask you about your journey.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for having me. I'm really happy to be here. And yeah, it was a catalyst. You are absolutely right. I was a school principal, as you said, and my husband was a rancher. We lived in a very small community called Valmery in southwestern Saskatchewan. And we were poised to retire. We were going to, you know, do a little traveling and, you know, enjoy our grandkids and all that kind of stuff that you do in retirement. Mm-hmm. And then in January of 2021, he was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer.
Oh, wow.
And it was just such a shock. I mean, you just don't think that that's going to happen, right? Like it's just, mm-hmm. All of a sudden when it does, all the sails come off, you know, the rug comes out from underneath of you. And I had always had a real passion for energy healing. And so what I did was I started to really dive deep into that, mm-hmm. to try to help him and to try to help me. Mm-hmm. So in that 10 months that he was not well, and going through chemotherapy and all of that, I had other energy healers working with us. I did some classes, tried to learn more. And in the end, he passed away. And so devastated, had no idea where to turn. A lot of people were saying, you know, you'll be okay. You'll learn to live with it. It'll be, you know, like this forever, you know, kind of like this is, it was almost like the life sentence thing that came forward, which yeah. It might have been a little bit my interpretation as well, mm-hmm. but it wasn't a very hopeful message.
Right.
It was just a lot of, you know, women that had said, you know, I'm just going to miss my husband forever. And that's just the way it is. And I hope one day I'll meet him again. You know, it was, mm-hmm. and I was thinking, oh my gosh, you know, I can't live my life like that. Right. Like yeah. this is too much. And I was so overcome with mm-hmm. emotion, sadness and despair. Mm-hmm. And so I reached out and I found myself a grief coach. Mm-hmm. And I got myself into this energy healing class, which ended up leading into doing a summit. And I interviewed experts in grief. Mm-hmm. And that's where I got started. So I got mm-hmm. a lot of information from there. And then I ended up doing three more of those. So I did 4 summits.
Oh, wow.
Now I have the podcast. So I've interviewed like over 100 experts in grief, just wow. Coaches and therapists and mediums and healers and all mm-hmm. kinds of, even animal communicators, you name it, I've gone through it. And it's just changed my whole world, because I've had example after example of people who have gone through some of the worst things that you could ever think about, and have come out on the other side transformed, have awakened to a brand new journey, right? And they've mm-hmm. found themselves and they've found a purpose and a fulfillment for their life. And so that really helped me step into my own healing and my own discovery of who I am. And so that's how I got going doing what I'm doing.
That's beautiful. It's such a strange space of, I mean, I know my dad is fine. I know that. But that loss of the physical is disorienting. I remember the first time my dad came to visit me after he transitioned out of his body. I was in Washington State, and I was driving in between the Cascade Mountains and the Olympic Peninsula, and it was a gorgeous, like one of those perfect spring days where it's like in the 60s and it's sunny and there's still snow on the mountains, and I'm on this bridge and I can see both mountain ranges. And I'm doing 60 miles an hour, and I'm like, I really wish you were here, Dad, because he never made it out west. I feel him come in to my awareness and looks around, is like, oh, this is really beautiful, and then flies away. And I'm like, thank you for seeing it. Why did it have to be so quick? Because, I mean, I knew it was him. I could feel his energy. And, you know, that beautiful ability to still feel without the physical is such a fascinating space to traverse, because now when I talk to my spirit guides, I know the signatures of the energies of each of them. And it's such a, it's so cool to have those senses to feel them on a different level.
Yeah. Yeah. And how exciting it is to be able to connect in that way with them, and to find out that it's not so, like, I don't know, I had this impression, I think, is growing up, like a medium, you know, like things would just appear. I don't know, I had this misconstrued idea about what it would be like to connect with your guides or connect with your loved ones. And now I realize it's just like this really supernatural thing that, in fact, I think many of us are already doing it and just don't even know it.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel that too, because, I mean, I, as an example, my grandfather's birthday was July 7th, 1907. Anytime I see 777, I feel his energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I have a similar, you know, birds are, especially the doves. Blaine comes in whenever those birds are there. And it's been interesting. They've been with me ever since he left. And I never noticed them before. You know, I never paid attention. And then all of a sudden I'd be writing my blog post and I would hear that bird outside. And I would wonder, what is that? You know, and you start to get curious about things and you start to find more and more synchronicities and things that are happening. It's very comforting to have that kind of relationship with the person. It's like building a new kind of relationship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way you say that, because it's this interesting space of going from the head to the heart and trusting that your heart is so connected. And the senses that we rely upon, I actually heard one of my former guests say, he studied it and he said, we have 360 senses according to the ancient Egyptians, and we use five of them. I was like, I think I want to develop those a little bit more. And to have that, you know, that ability to, you know, because grief does that. Grief allows us to surrender because we don't have any choice but to feel. And then through that feeling, we get to explore other layers that we wouldn't otherwise get to, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I really see the whole grieving process differently now. You know, when it first came in, all those emotions, I thought, this is not good. Like, we can't be doing this. But then when I realized that it was a process for healing and that I needed to embrace it, that I needed to welcome it in and to allow all those emotions to run through me. Mm-hmm. And I felt so much lighter when I was able to do that, when I learned how to do that. Then I realized, you know, it's not something to be feared or to be pushed away. It really is something to be embraced.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree with that, because Yeah, well, I actually told one of my friends the other day. I said she was triggered by something, and I said to her, "Feel the feelings, don't go into the story." Because when you just feel the feelings, like whatever you're like, I'll wake up and I'll be crying. I'll have no idea why. And that's okay. I don't need to. I can just feel it. And then after I feel it, it's gone and I feel lighter. And it's a practice, but whew, it is so healthy.
Yeah, and it's tough for us. Like I grew up, I think, like a lot of people, you don't cry. And especially as a school principal, I mean, that's not you don't show emotion. It was really hard for me in the beginning. It really was to just cry, to allow myself to do that. And I think some of us measure, and I think, we learn this, that we measure how we're doing by how much we're crying. And if we're not crying a lot, well, then we think we're doing great. And if we're crying a whole bunch, well, then we think we're not doing good. And I like to tell people that's not a way to measure your healing,
I completely agree with that because, like, it doesn't, like, however you, as long as you're feeling your feelings, it doesn't matter how it comes out. I mean, as long as you're, and you're not projecting it on anybody else.
Yes, exactly.
That's the whole thing too. I mean, I've had the experience of, I'll use the word trigger. I had a friend in Mount Shasta when I was living down there who would just say something and I would just, but I had the awareness at that time to be like, he has no idea. No idea that what he just said hit me to my core. And I'm not going to repress it, which is what I did for so many years. I'm going to feel it. And then I'm going to thank him because he didn't know. And I didn't know it was in me until he just said it. And I went, ah. And I think it's because I processed the grief in a healthy way that I was able to access those feelings on a deeper level.
Yeah, absolutely. And people do mirror things for us so that we can see what, I have that happen too, really strange aversions to things that I'm like, why? But really, you don't have to know, like you say, you just have to be able to feel the feeling and allow that to come through and be thankful for the opportunity to heal it.
So how did you, like, in your grief process, because this is just curious, like, because you'd been working on the energy healing as your husband is transitioning, did those, like, how did those practices help inform your grieving journey?
Yeah, so I think a big part of it was, and especially when he was still sick, when I enlisted in the energy healing, when I had healers working with me, and when I was working in the course, I could feel the energy lifting for me. So it wasn't like, I was still doing the work, but it just felt like somebody was helping me lighten the load a bit. So that when you have those really, really strong emotions, it's really hard to feel into them, because they're so strong and you really don't want to go down that road very bad. But a healer was like helping me shift that energy without me having to go deep into that dark depth of feeling. And I think it helped me a lot. I always knew after, one of those sessions, I felt lighter. I felt a lot more hope. It was a release for me. And so then when I realized what it could do, of course, I wanted to do more of that, especially, after he passed and I was just didn't know what else to do. And then to be able to help others that way. because it helped me so much.
I love that. Such have some that I remember when I was living in Washington and my dad's in Connecticut. After he transitioned, I was doing yoga. I love that yoga. It's like so much energy, so much beautiful. I stopped doing yoga after he died. It's like, well, because it wasn't intuitive. I mean, it was like I just shut down, and instead of reaching out for help, because that's something that another part of the grieving process is, you know, we're the ones grieving and the rest of the world just keeps going. And so I didn't want to inflict my grief on anyone else, because like that's, you know, the conditioning. And so I just, I don't know why this is coming through, but so for 2 weeks in my former office, when I was still actually working for somebody else, so my boss's mom died, then my partner's dad died, and then my dad died. They gave flowers to my boss, they gave flowers to my former partner. I got nothing. And after 2 weeks, because I couldn't express my grief, because I couldn't take any more time off, because I spent it all flying back and forth watching my dad die, I got super, super mad because nobody actually expressed condolences, like simple thing. I mean, one person did. She made me ziti, and the people from the East Coast sent me flowers, but the people in the Washington office had no idea what to do with me. And so I got mad because I'm thinking it's all about manners and all. And it was because I couldn't express what I was feeling until this one day I looked at my former partner. I said, if I don't get a card from everybody in the office, I'm not responsible for my actions. And he went around and got everybody's signature. But it's so fascinating because like that grief, if you don't actually feel into it, it comes out in the pretty wonky ways.
Yeah, for sure. I remember being pretty upset with the oncologist because after Blaine passed away, I never heard from him again. We met with him regularly and
wow,
you know, progress reports, and then bam, he disappeared. And I just thought, wow, like, you know, we had put our dog down and our cat down kind of in that time frame too.
Oh, wow.
And we got a card from the vet, you know, all signed by the staff. And I'm thinking, and my oncologist can't just, you know, but I get it in a way, because I mean, he has a lot of patients, and I'm sure he goes through trauma every time he loses one. It was just like you say, it was that reaction, like, why, you know?
Oh my, I haven't really dived into this for a while, so it's really fascinating to see how it's coming through. And so how have you seen grace coming into your life from this?
Well, it's interesting because when I did the summits, of course, people sign up under your email, right? So you have an email list, and I decided to hold a support group. And so I hold these support groups every 10 days. And in the end, you know, the point was to support them in some way. You know, I had taken my grief certification course. And so, you know, I felt like there was things I could share and do and to help. And then it was interesting because as I built that community became my support. And so not only was I creating a supportive space for them and each other, but I was creating support for myself at the same time. And I really didn't think about it that way going into it, but that's exactly how it went. And each time I reach out for some information to help my community, you know, to get a podcaster that has some more expert advice or people that can help out in certain areas, then, you know, I'm benefiting from that as well. You know, we're all benefiting from that. So it's that whole feeling of oneness, you know, what you do for yourself, you do for others, what you do for others, you do for yourself, you know, it's all together. And so, yeah, I've had met so many amazing people and just, yeah, have this beautiful community now. That's just, I could never dreamt of it. Could never.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
During these times of that journey of perceived separation, having people who you can interrelate with and support you is so important.
I've gained some, you know, good close friends through this, you know, other widows that have lost their husbands and similar timelines. And in fact, one of the people that I met, a lady by the name of April, she lives out on Vancouver Island. I met her in the first summit. She reached out and we're going on a trip to Bali together.
That's awesome.
I know. It's not, it's interesting because we really haven't met in person. We've only been on Zoom, but it was something that was calling to me and she had mentioned it. And I thought, well, the heck, we'll go, you know.
Yeah.
You build these connections through your shared experience, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and there's lots of them. I could go on and on about the different connections that I've made. And some of your friends, close friends that you had before just fall away. And I think that's one of maybe the hardest things to stomach is that and we moved away from our community too. So that didn't help anyone, but we moved when he got sick. And so I retired, we moved, you know, he got sick, he passed away. And so my whole life was completely different. And so then all of those connections kind of, not all, but a lot of them just fell away. And so I know that happens to a lot in grief. There's people who support you and sometimes it's surprising who steps up and supports you and it's surprising who doesn't. But it is part of that journey.
I completely agree. I was surprised when my dad transitioned. We had a memorial service for him, and he was a high school math teacher. And all I knew, two things I knew about my dad, horrible jokes. And he also worked with the kids that nobody else wanted to help. And I didn't know what happened, but like all of a sudden this flock of former male students in their 30s and 40s came up to me and shared with me how impactful my dad's life was on them. I didn't know I knew we have a math teacher, but I had no idea. And so to hear those stories of the transformational power of what my dad did with these young men, some of them said, I would have been arrested, I would have killed myself, your dad changed my life. And those reflections were so profound on me because it gave me, I mean, I always knew he was pretty amazing, but like, I didn't get to see those aspects of him. And so it gave me such a profound gift to understand who he really was on a deeper level. And not many of them, actually none of the ones that came up to me communicate with me anymore because I'm in Oregon. But having the ability to receive the gift of learning more of that person. I'm not sure if you had that experience, but it's It's a beautiful gift to see the mosaic of the person that you lived with when you only have one aspect of them or a few aspects.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people think that when they're talking to somebody who's grieving, that they don't want to mention, you know, the deceased, because if you did that, you know, you might trigger them. Maybe you would remind them that they're gone. You know, so, but it is so beautiful to hear those stories. And I love that, you know, when the kids and I are talking about Blaine and the things that he used to do and what he would say if he saw us now, you know, that kind of talk that goes on is so important. It's important to keep that memory alive. And I think we also honor them by living the life that they lived. You know, I think Blaine was so social. He loved to visit with people. I was very quiet, shy, reserved. And now I'm on podcasts and I'm speaking and I think about him a lot because I think, well, this is what he would have done. This is totally, you know, probably not a podcast because he wasn't a tech guy, but he would have been out visiting with these people. He would have been out, you know, finding out who they were, finding out their story. He would be so interested in all of this. And so it's just fascinating how that makes me think of him a lot. Every time I do something like this, I think, oh my gosh, Blaine, look at what I'm doing.
I totally get that. Every time I'm out hiking and I see like a bird or an animal, I think of my dad because that's what we used to do when I was growing up. And I hear it like whenever I'd be on a lake, he just look, look over there. It's a turtle sitting on a rock or something like that. And I'd be like, oh, it's a turtle on a rock. And like, we'd paddle the canoe really quietly. And so like, anytime I see anything is like the wonder.
Yeah.
The wonder. And that's the gift he imbued in me is the wonder of nature. And it's beautiful to feel the reflections of those gifts within us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Just filling into this. Like I had no idea I was going to go. No idea where this was going. So, cause I never do. What inspires you right now in your journey?
Yeah, I think I have a bit of a mission. It's like to bring that message of hope to people who are grieving, because I felt like when I lost my husband, it was, I didn't feel like I had a lot of support. I didn't feel like there was a lot of support out there for me. It was a lot of people saying, you know, you'll figure it out kind of thing. You know, you'll be fine. I didn't know there was such thing as a grief coach. I knew there were counselors and therapists, but I didn't really know what they could do for me. You know, right. You think about it, you think, well, what can they say? He's gone. How are you going to fix that? You know, like, it's, you know, it's just that attitude. And I think, you know, we're kind of raised that way, you know, that we'll just figure it out because other people have, right? And after a certain amount of time, you'll be healed. Well, it doesn't really work that way.
No. I mean, you'll be different. You'll certainly, the image of the Japanese vases that crack and then they put the gold in.
That's
what we're like after grief. It's like, we're kind of put together, but we're put together in a different way.
For sure.
And it certainly, it gifts us, like, I know for a fact, one of the gifts my dad gave me was to not be a people pleaser. He's really good at that. B, not be codependent. And C, don't repress my dreams because it'll show up, like you'll create disease in your body if you repress yourself.
Right. Yeah. So. Absolutely. Yeah. So it's just, you know, letting people know that there is help out there, that, you know, grief can be a process of awakening, or a post-traumatic growth is actual thing, you know? And I think that gave me a lot of hope when I heard that I could go through this, that I could come through on the other side and still live a life that's fulfilling and happy. And I'm not saying that every moment is happy. I don't think that's how life is, but I'm not, you know, feeling like that cloud is hanging over me, because that's how it was in the beginning. It was like every time you did something joyful, there was this cloud of darkness following you. Nothing was fun, you know?
Right, so it's
like giving people that hope that you can move through that, and that we all have our own timeline. You know, I've been over a couple of years now. Some people take longer, some people take less. It depends on the loss and all of that. And just to know that it's okay. All of it is okay. And to just accept the process, because it's there to help us heal. It's not there to hurt you. So that's just to share my guidance and the wisdom that I've learned from, you know, over the years, interviewing all these people and talking to them about grief.
It's such a critical part to the human journey. And in our modern culture, it's such a ignored part of our journeys. And it's there's nothing scary about it. It's just the scary part is you get to feel your feelings rather. And what that is, like, what are the stories you have in your head in relation to this other person? What are your stories of perception that you have that you didn't know you had because of your relationship with this person? And how can you accept all those aspects of you as you that you can only see when you have, well, I won't say you can only see, but my journey, I could only see because I had the trauma.
Yeah. Cause you're forced to really look at yourself, because you no longer, I mean, that whole identity is lost. You know, you're not Blaine's wife anymore. I wasn't a teacher anymore. I was living in a different community. And so who am I? What am I doing here? Like, it's just like this huge gut search for who you truly are. And then you find this person inside of you and you're like, whoa, I didn't know she was in there. That's kind of cool. I mean, maybe other people saw that in me. Maybe they saw that potential, but I didn't see it in myself. I really had to There was a lot of digging that had to happen.
Yep. And the gold mines that you find when you dig.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I came up with skills that I'd forgotten about, because I just pushed them aside for other things. And how I've seen them morph over the years. Like, so one of the things I do now is I love making sourdough bread. My dad used to make yeast bread. I like sourdough bread better. I don't know why, but anyways, so I recently made a cinnamon raisin bread, and that was his favorite. And the first bite I had from it, I was like, oh, Dad, it would be so cool to like share this with you, just because it'd just be fun to like hang out and have the bread. But like, I remember since he was a school student, every end of the semester, he would make probably about a dozen loaves of bread. And then make soup, like gallons of soup, and bring it in for the entire faculty. And they'd have a meal together. And it was just such a beautiful gift. And I think that's probably why I like having potluck dinners.
Yeah.
But like that gift of like seeing, like, and it's not, he never really taught me how to make bread. He certainly didn't teach me how to make sourdough bread. But having that gift come through me in its own expression. And how are you, other than like the social person you are now, how are you seeing those things reflect in you?
Well, the social thing is huge, but when I go camping, just the food, the barbecue, all that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't really care about that stuff. I was more into that, but now it's just, it, I don't know. It just takes on, it's more special now, because he's not there. You know, I remember the first time I thought about cooking a steak on the barbecue, because he just loved food, and steak was like, wow. And he was a cattle rancher. So, you know, there was that. Yeah. And so we, you know, he'd throw a steak on and cook it. And I remember thinking the first time I had, you know, I was going to have a steak, I was like, whoa, I don't even know if I can do this. You know, your mind is, it kind of goes to a place where it's like you miss them so much that you just don't even know if you can handle the experience. You know, it's just too much, too overwhelming. But I remember there was a lot of times where I just had to do it. You know, I just had to cook the steak. And if I was going to cry the entire time while I cooked the steak, well, so be it. That's the way it was going to go down. And I might have to do it a few times before I enjoyed it. But there is some type of transformation that takes place at some point where you go, oh my gosh, this is so special now, you know, to sit and have this. It's honoring. It's, I don't know. I can't explain it, but it, there is a transformation that takes place from that really longing and wanting their presence to just feeling how special it is to have had that gift of their life in your experience, right?
I love the way you use that example, because it's such a beautiful reminder of how when we open ourselves up, how we can expand that appreciation and that the beauty of that. It's just the way you said the honoring and the presence and just feeling into that, it just, I felt the specialness of that steak.
Yeah.
because of the way you expressed it. And that's how we can do it with anything that informs us. And it's not that they're leading us, and it's not like we're putting our lives on hold for them, but it's when we bring that presence in that we can feel the essence of their spirit. And that's what makes it special.
Yeah, exactly. You just summed that up perfectly.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, that's exactly how it is.
It just came. Yeah, I love when I can't speak and yet I hear it coming through. It's just, that's a gift.
Yes, it is. It certainly is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm just starting to experience some of that, you know, and it's interesting. Like I started doing angel readings for people and,
oh, cool.
And just, you know, using the cards as a focus, but then being able to get those messages coming in and saying things that are helpful, you know, and not, it's not me.
Right. Right. I definitely, and I'm sure you feel that with the energy work too, because like when I'm working on animals, I'm not here. I'm like, I'm right brain connected to their consciousness. My handwriting goes to crap and I'm just channeling what they need. And it's fascinating because my left brain is very analytical and wants to understand it. But my right brain's like, but we're already just doing, like, we're doing it. Yeah. We don't need to understand it. And so that channeling aspect, I actually wrote an article recently that was pure channeled. I pressed dictation and I just channeled it through. And I'm like, this is so cool because this is nothing to do with me.
Right.
It was all to do with like how to support animals in 2024 energetically on different levels. And this is what the animals were telling me to tell the humans. And I was like, I'm their conduit. This is so cool.
That is cool. That's very
Yeah.
cool.
And when we open ourselves up and keep surrendering that need to control, because I know that's part of the grief process is like losing the control, which is the massive heart opening that we all need. It's really fascinating what comes through.
And you think about, the things that happen through that, just allowing, surrendering, having faith, just trusting the process because you really have no choice.
Right, you don't.
And you just, and then all of these. If you can just allow it, if you can just kind of allow all of that to happen, then you just end up in this place that you just couldn't, I could never have guessed what I was doing now. I would never have guessed I would be doing this. And I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
I love it. So, and I don't know what's coming next, but that's okay.
You don't need to. You don't
No.
need to. And that's what's interesting with me is like I feel things that are starting to percolate. I'm just being present to them. I'm like, okay, you want to show me, just let it come through me. I don't want to control because I've done that for way too many years, and it's much more fun
Yes.
when I allow.
Yeah. Yeah, because our minds can't even come up with this stuff that spirit comes up with. Like, there's no way we can dream this up.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so true. I mean, like you having a podcast, I'm sure you didn't think about that in 2022,
Sure didn't. Nope.
right? When I started mine, it was because I'd been doing voiceovers. And back in when I was at the University of Maine, I interviewed people because I worked at the Maine Folklife Center. And they like one of my projects was to interview people. So, like, all of a sudden, I hear 2018, do a podcast. I'm like, what? Do a what? And so I didn't for a year because I was terrified. And then in 2019, they gave me the title and they're like, we meant it. Go interview people. And I was like, okay. And now, like, I was when I was in Shasta, I had a hiatus for a couple of years because I had intermittent internet. But when I came back up to Oregon, they're like, okay, now you need to do it now because there's a lot of shifts in consciousness and there's a lot of people you need to get to talk to on this journey to support your listeners. So go. And I just like 2 days ago completed straight 31 days of podcasts because I had
Wow.
so many people I interviewed. I was like, I can't hold this back because there's so much content
Right.
that needs to get out. And now I was doing once a week in January. Now I'm back to three times a week now. And I'm like, what is this? It's so fascinating because there's so much content that needs to come out to support humanity at this time in consciousness. And so how are you feeling that too?
Yeah, it's coming on a lot more just lately. Actually, there's been a lot more interest and a lot more people that want to sign up. And I just do every 2 weeks. That's how I started in January because I was afraid that, I wanted consistency and I wasn't sure I could keep up with the pace, right? Of doing that. But now it's like, seems to be a lot. So I don't know. I'm
Yep.
going away for a few weeks, so we'll see what happens when I get back.
I get it. I get it. Like I did not plan on being a full-time podcaster, but this is a gift to the world and I'm here to serve.
Right.
So how do I serve in the highest light? And if this is what source wants me to do right now, I'm going to do it. So I'm not questioning. Just shrinking the schedule a little so I don't have to do daily every day of the week.
Yeah, exactly.
Was a thing. Yeah. So I want to talk to you a little bit. So you have that you're an author and a writer. So what have you done?
Yeah, so well, I started out with blog posts. I was encouraged by my coach and others to just share my story. And I remember the first time I did it, it was pretty scary. I put it on Facebook, and I remember having to submit, you know, and that button was really hard to push. But I was really fortunate in that people found it helpful, and I got a lot of really good feedback from it. And so then I just kept doing that. And I wouldn't have thought myself as a writer. That wasn't really, I never really thought about it that way. But then I kept getting the message, you know, you should write a book, from all different kinds of sources. You should write a book. You should write a book. So finally, last summer, I just powered through and I wrote the book. So the story is about, it's called Awakening Through Grief, and it's about my journey. And it's, of course, because I was a teacher and an educator, it's about my journey and also advice and suggestions and things to go with it. So they call it a teaching memoir, I think is how they term it. And so right now it's just trying to find its publisher. So I'm just
wonderful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a big deal.
Yeah, it feels good to, it was healing to write that story. Mm-hmm. And the way I look at it, if it only helps one person, even if it's just helped me, and I think it did, it definitely mm-hmm. did, mm-hmm. you know, that's enough, right? Mm-hmm. But if it seems like it has an energy, it wants to get out there. So we'll just see how it goes. Yeah.
I love how you said that, because it does. Like, you're the facilitator, mm-hmm. and it does what it wants to do. And yeah, it's really beautiful to be in that space.
Yeah. 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 To not have to worry about it. It's going to find its way, whatever way that is. It's just an adventure.
I love that. I love that. And I'm being a little mindful of time because I have another podcast coming up. So I do want to ask you, how do people find you?
Yes. So my website is healingenergy.world. So if they can go to healingenergy.world, then you'll find everything on there. My podcast, all my writing, you can sign up for my newsletter. I have group get-togethers. We have group support sessions. I have one-on-one. I do angel readings for people. You name it, it's all there. Meditations. Yeah. So check it out on my website.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I want to thank you, Angela, so much for this fascinating, had no idea where this was going conversation, and for your time and for your presence. And I so appreciate you in so many ways. And I'm so grateful to know you.
Yeah, same to you. Thank you for being a good conduit for spirit and guiding this conversation. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you so much, my dear.
Thank you.
Can you help me redefine truth and preservation of our soul shine? I can feel it, yours and mine. Close your eyes and witness it inside. In your bones, you will know. Trust and let go.